All right, everybody, welcome. Am I on? Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Just out of the mic? Yeah, is it working?
Microphone's bent the wrong direction.
Here. Hi there. Hook me up. Oh, there you are. All right, good deal? Got it now? Okay. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. So who in here that is here today saw me present yesterday by a show of hands? Okay. Now, who in here did not see me present yesterday? Okay. So most of you did not see it, but some of you did. Okay. So after this is over, which this is going to go probably until about 5 after 1 or maybe like 10 after 1, I'm going to be presenting at the room all the way at the end, and I'm going to go for 90 minutes, and I'm going to do exactly the same presentation that I did yesterday. All right? So, there's a few of you that did see me yesterday. There's some of you that didn't see me yesterday. So, the concept that I'm teaching is called the money multiplier method or the infinite banking concept. And anyway, I am Brent Kessler. I'm actually from Port Orange, Florida. I live about an hour east of Orlando and in a little town called Port Orange next to Daytona Beach. And the thing that I do is I teach you how to keep, build, and create your wealth through your own debts and expenses that you already have. So I teach you how to recycle and recapture and keep all of the dollars in your family. Now, the concept that we use is called the infinite banking concept. And for those of you that weren't just here yesterday, so there's this book right here. It's called Becoming Your Own Banker by a guy named R. Nelson Nash. Now, actually, R. Nelson Nash passed away a couple years ago. I think it was March of 2019. He passed away at age 87. But this is a book that you definitely want to add to your wealth building library. So is my clicker working now? No, it's not. So you're going to be coming up here in a chair and clicking around? Is that right? Or I'm going to click around. All right. I'll click around. The clicker's not working, but are you going to fix the clicker for the next presentation? Okay. Yep, R. Nelson Nash. So let me go to that. Right, there's the book, okay? It's called Becoming Your Own Banker by R. Nelson Nash. Definitely a book that you want to add to your wealth building library. There is another book that I wrote with a colleague of mine, and his name is Chris Noggle. It's called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. And if you guys haven't heard of Chris Noggle, I would definitely just go out and, okay, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you definitely want to follow Chris Noggle to see what he's doing. So Chris does a Wealth Wednesday webinar every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. He does another segment called Ask Me Anything at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So you definitely want to follow Chris Noggle. Chris Noggle is very well known in the world of real estate. He's had a couple shows on TV. One was on House Hunters. The other one was on HGTV called Risky Builders. So you definitely want to follow him. So Chris and I wrote that book. It was about a year and a half ago. I think it was April of 2020 that came out. If you guys want that book, all you got to do is email me. Just email me Brent, B-R-E-N-T, Brent at themoneymultiplier.com, and I'll send you the ebook version of that book. Now, before I kind of get started into some content of the people that were here yesterday, is there anyone that has questions on the information that I went over yesterday? Any questions? Yes, sir.
You said you were talking about you can get a loan on what you've already put in. You don't have to pay that back. You don't pay any interest on that.
Right. So anyway, on the policy, anytime you take a loan from the policy, the dollars that you're borrowing are not your money. You're simply going to take the policy and you're going to put it up for collateral and you're going to make a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. So what you're doing is you're borrowing from the general fund of the insurance company, not your money. All the money that you have in the policy is still growing and compounding at that guaranteed tax-free growth rate. There's no interruption of compound interest. Now, if you remember on the presentation that I showed you yesterday, I showed you these calculators here. Hang on, I'll bring them up. I showed you these calculators. They're coming. I don't have my clicker. All right. So if you remember from these calculators, I showed you how you could borrow at a higher rate than what you're earning and make money all day long. Hey, Hannah, I need the clicker for my light, for the little light thing. So if you remember, I said that, okay, so the thing I want you to imagine is that you have $25,000 in your local bank account, whether it's your checking account or your savings account. And that $25,000 is paying you 4%. That's what you're making, is 4% on the money. Now, I know you're not making 4% in your bank account, right? But I'm going to say you found a really good bank, and that bank is paying you 4% interest. And I said I was going to be the banker. And you're in the market to buy a $25,000 car. So what you do is you come into the bank and you say, Brent, I want to borrow $25,000 out to go buy a car. Okay? Or anyway, the $25,000 is going to come out of the bank that's earning 4%, and you want to take that money out to go pay cash for a car. And I say, no, no, no. You do not want to take the $25,000 out of the bank that's earning 4%. Instead, I'm going to make you a loan for $25,000, and I'm going to charge you 6% interest. And over the same equal time period, in this case, 5 years or 60 months, our bank will pay you more money on the 4% that you're earning, then you will pay us on the 6% that you're borrowing. And I said, is that a true statement? And you said, no. Well, how can you make more money paying 6 at the same time you're earning 4? Because you're actually losing 2%. Well, the banker told you the truth. Because see, if you take a $25,000 loan, you borrow it at 6% for 5 years or 60 months, that means your payment is $483.32 a month. You take the $483.32, you take that times the 60 months, and you pay $29,000 for the car. That's what you would do if you go borrow money from a bank to buy a car. And if they're going to charge you 6% interest, and you're going to finance it for 5 years. So at the end of the time, you're going to pay $25,000 in principal and $4,000 in interest. Are you with me on that? That same money that I told you to keep in the bank and not take out, that's paying you 4%, well, if you take out $25,000, okay, so if you earn $25,000 at 4% over 5 years or 60 months, you're actually going to have a total of $30,525. So is this number $30,525? Is that a larger number than $28,999? Yeah. How can that be? How can you have more money earning 4 at the same time you're paying 6? Here's why. Because the car balance is going down every month. It's on a decreasing balance. It goes down. The dollars in the account go up. Alright, so you got this one going down and this one goes up. But our minds aren't programmed to think that way. We think if we earn 4 and pay 6, we're losing 2. Well, we have to start learning how money works. So the answer to your question is, can you make more money all day long earning 4 at the same time you're paying 6? Yes. So the thing that happens is when you take a loan from the policy, all of this money stays in the policy. It's all in the policy. It never leaves. Even though that you took a loan of $25,000, this is continuing to compound and grow. Because the money in here never came out of the policy. You simply put your policy up for collateral, took a loan from the general fund of the insurance company, so your money is continuing to grow. So, and then at the insurance company, I'm saying when we take a loan, we're going to borrow the money at 6%. Now, it's never 6%. It's lower, but I just show you 6 because I want to under-promise and over-deliver. So in real life, I don't have any companies that charge more than 5% interest. But in this case, we're just going to say 6 because I like to make it worse up here than what it actually is in real life. So can you make money all day long earning 4 and paying 6?
Sure.
Yes. Now, also, too, you got to remember the policy loan is at simple interest. It's not compound interest. So, like, if you borrowed, and again, I'm just going to say easy math. Let's say you borrowed $10,000 out of the policy and you kept it for a year or 12 months at 5% interest. That means your interest is going to be $500 for the year. If you kept it out for 6 months, it would be $250, right? So the interest that you're paying on the loan is its simple interest, but the interest that you're making in the policy is compounded interest. It's a big difference. Does that make sense? One more thing to that. Anytime that the loan gets paid back, whenever you pay back the insurance company, any interest that you pay them, yes, it goes back to the insurance company because you borrowed it from the insurance company. However, who is the owner of the policy? Remember, these are whole life policies in a mutual company that pays dividends. So you own the contract. So whenever you pay the insurance company back, the insurance company profits. At the end of every year, they say, this is what we profited. And now they give you that money in the form of a what? A dividend. That's right. So you get a dividend, and the dividends are distributed amongst all of the policyholders. So you are profiting. So the insurance company does better, your dividend is better. Now, even though I can't guarantee a dividend this year, next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, every insurance company that we work with has been paying dividends for over 120 consecutive years without fail. So is there a pretty good chance they're going to pay a dividend this year, next year, 5 years from now? Yeah. But even if they don't, you still have the growth rate over here that's inside of your policy contract. So all of these numbers before you ever sign for your policy, before you ever pay for your policy, you will see all of those numbers inside of the contract. All right. Any other questions?
You said yesterday there's no fees to us.
That you're being paid through. There's no fees. Yes, I think what you mean me. How do I get paid?
You don't charge us.
No, I don't ever charge you guys a dime. I get paid one way only. I get paid the same way your car insurance guy or gal gets paid. So, for example, let's say if you go to John Smith, the Allstate man, to buy car insurance. Well, the check that you write is not to John Smith, is it? You write that check to Allstate, and Allstate pays John Smith a commission. So that's how I get paid, is a commission on the policy that you do, right? So hopefully, if this is something you do, I'm the guy that you're going to do it with, because whoever you do it with is going to get paid a commission on the policy. The reason you want to do it with me and just not your brother-in-law that sells life insurance, because everyone has a brother-in-law that sells life insurance, right? The reason you want to do it with me and not them is because they don't understand the banking concept. They don't understand how to design the policy for that high cash value immediately. Does that make sense? There's no fees, there's no charges, there's no cost. All you decide to do is you decide how much premium dollars that you want to put into the policy. It's up to you.
100% of my premium dollars I'm putting in, $1,000, $10,000, whatever, is invested.
Everything that you put into the policy, it goes into the policy, right? The thing is, it goes into the policy, and what the insurance company does is they take those dollars and they invest in other arenas. Most mutual companies, they will put roughly about 3/4 or maybe a little more, maybe 80% of all of their dollars that come in premium, they will go into investment grade bonds. Another 7% they put into home and commercial mortgages. Another 7% they do to policy loans for their policy holders. And the other 7% has to be in a very low account that earns interest at a small rate, because whenever death occurs, those policies have to be paid out. That death benefit has to be paid out, and it gets paid out to your beneficiaries on a tax-free basis. Now, just to expand on his questions, the loan never has to be paid back. Anytime you borrow from the policy, you never ever have to pay back your loan, because the loan is simply a prepayment of the death benefit. You're borrowing against the death benefit. right? The insurance company can never, ever, ever lose because the death benefit is always higher than the cash value of the policy. And you are guaranteed to die, pass, graduate, whatever word you like to use. It's not an if, it's a when. And at the time of your death, what happens is the death benefit will pay off any outstanding policy loans, and the additional money will go to your beneficiaries tax-free. Plus, all of plus on all those loans that are paid off, whoever is going to get those assets, right, because those assets have now been paid for. They're paid off by the loan. So they get the assets and the death benefit as well. Good? All right.
After age 85, is the face value of the policy the same?
After age 85, is the face value the same? No, it continuously goes up. That face value will continue to go up, usually until age 121. And at age 121, okay, the thing that happens is now that policy will be paid out if you haven't died yet. Now, I haven't met anyone yet there, but that's what would happen. So it continuously goes up. The cash value goes up, the loan availability goes up, and the death benefit goes up. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
So what if you have no personal consumer debt?
Okay.
And all you have is a bunch of rental houses with 20-year loans.
Okay.
Interest rate. Then how is this whole
problem? Okay. Yep. Works the same exact way if there's no consumer debt. It works the same way for debt and expenses. I got to click through here. All right. So let's talk about this example that we talked about yesterday. And for the new people in here, I'm going to kind of start just from the beginning on this so you'll see how this is. All right. Now, on the left, all you have is time. Year 1 to 8, 9 to 13. And then you have age and death benefit that are grayed out. Don't worry about age. Don't worry about death benefit at all. All we're worried about is the cash value column right here. The cash value. This is the premium you put in. This is the cash that you have available in the policy. Now, if you remember, I showed you. Well, actually, I'm just going to walk through this, okay? So this example, so this individual is going to put in $10,000 a year into this life insurance policy. And he's going to pay it for 7 years. Now, don't get hung up about, oh my gosh, I would never put $10,000 into a policy. You decide how much you want to put into it, right? You can put it in monthly, quarterly, twice a year, annually. You can do less. You can do more. So if $10,000 is too much, take off a zero. If it's not enough, add a zero. Whatever amount that you want to put in is totally up to you. All right? Now, if you remember, I showed you yesterday how we're going to get all the money back for all the cars we're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of our life. And I know not everybody was here yesterday, and I'll go through it more when we go over at 1:30, but I'm going to go through it quickly now. So the thing we're going to do is just take this policy. All we're going to do is buy this policy, and all right, on this particular policy, all we're going to do is use it to buy a car every 5 years. So he puts in $10,000 a year into this policy, and he's going to buy a car at the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year, for $25,000. All right? Now, I really am going to encourage him to use the policy immediately, to start borrowing cash from the policy immediately. And from you guys that were here yesterday, how soon is immediately? Within 30 days, okay? Within 30 days. So this is what you're going to borrow within 30 days. Now, in real life, it's a higher number than that, really. But I like to under-promise and over-deliver. So, but in this case, he's going to wait to the end of the third year, the beginning of the fourth year, to go buy a car. And he's going to go buy a $25,000 car. And he's going to buy another $25,000 car here at the end of the eighth year, the beginning of the ninth year. So every 5 years, he's going to buy a car. I want you to think about your family. How often are you guys buying cars for you and your family? Probably approximately every 5 years. Because if you're married, there's two people in the car, and I bet you're buying at least one car every 5 years. So that would mean that each of you were driving a car for 10 years, right? So, a $25,000 car is the thing that he's going to buy, okay, out of the cash value of the policy. Now, the thing he's going to do is he's going to pay himself back because he borrowed the money to buy the car. He borrowed it from the policy. He borrowed it from himself. Now, if you go to a bank and borrow $25,000 to buy a car, are you expected to pay the bank back with interest? You are you not? So do you think it's a good idea that you pay yourself back with interest? If you borrow, yeah. But is it something you guys ever do? No, man, you never pay yourself back. Anytime you borrow money from yourself, you never pay yourself back with interest, much less just pay yourself back at all. But you got to start doing that. You have to start treating your money the same way you treat a bank's money. Because if you don't, you're saying your money is not as valuable as a bank's money. So, all right, so $25,000 he's going to borrow to buy the car. He's going to pay himself back $500 a month or $6,000 a year, a total of $30,000. All right? Now, I want you to look and see what happened here in the first 8 years. He put in 10 times 7 is 70. He paid himself back a total of $500 a month times, 5 years, which is $500 a month times 12 months is $6,000 for 5 years, a total of 30. So he put in 70 into the policy, paid himself back 30. So that means he put in a total of $100,000. Are you with me? But he took out $25,000 to buy the car, didn't he? So if I put in $100 and took out $25,000, how much more then did I put in than I took out? $75,000, right? So that's how much my net injection is. Well, look how much cash that I have. Right here. I've got $73,226. So if I take the $73,226 divided into the $75,000, which is my net injection, I just got back 96 cents of every dollar for that car, did I not? All I did is added one step in my financial life. Now, how would all of you guys like to have 96 cents back of every dollar for every car that you've bought, driven, and owned up to this point in your life? Would that be pretty cool? Right? Now, all right? Now, the thing that happens is that car wears out, or it's time to get a new one. So now we go buy another car in year number 9 for $25,000. Well, those dollars come from where? Right here, the $73,000. You see it? So we go buy another car. I'm no longer putting premium dollars into the policy in this example. Alright? I'm no longer paying premium. I'm only going to use this policy to buy the car. That's it. That's the only thing I'm going to use it for. So now I go buy another $25,000 car. I pay myself back just like I did on the first car, $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years, which is a total of $30,000. So now I just want you to look at year 9 to 13 only. 9 to 13. So I took out $25,000 to buy the car. I paid myself back $30,000. So how much more did I pay myself back than I took out? $5,000. How much cash do I now have inside of the policy? $95,000. So it grew. It grew from 73 to 95. It grew $22,000 with a $5,000 net injection. How do you like buying cars my way? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I'm doing? No. All I did is I added one step in my financial life. You see, all you guys are going to buy the cars anyway, right? Just like you've been driving and buying cars your whole life. So like the car that, back just when you started driving, ma'am, whenever that was, when you were 16 or 18, is that a car you still have today? Do you have your second car? Your third car? No, and the car you're driving is not your last car because you're going to go through life and you're going to buy and sell cars, are you not? So how about if we can not only get the car, but we also get the money back as well? Would that be pretty cool? So now, All I did is I bought this policy and I used it to buy the car. So it grew from 73 to 95, a $22,000 growth with a $5,000 net injection. Now, watch this. Watch what happens in 13 years. Okay? In 13 years, the thing we did is put in 10 times 7, 6 times 30, is 100, and then 6 times 5 is 30. So through 13 years, we put in 100 plus 30. We put in $130,000. Are you with me? But we bought two cars, didn't we, during that time? We bought a car in year 4 and a car in year 9 for 25 and 25, which is 50. So if I put in 130 and I took out 50, how much more did I put in than I took out? 130 minus 50 is 80. 80,000 is our net injection, is it not? How much cash do we have right now? 95, right? So are you telling me over the period of 13 years, I put in 130, took out 50 for the two cars, so my net injection is 80, and here I am today with $95,000 of cash value. If that's true, which it is, how much did those cars cost you to buy, drive, and own? If my net injection is 80 and you have 95 in cash right now, how much did they cost you? You made money, didn't you? You actually have $15,000 more. Not only do you have the 95,000, guess what else you have? You have two cars. You have a 5-year-old car and a 10-year-old car that you've owned, driven, used. You're driving it. You can continue to drive it. You can sell it. You can donate it, whatever you want. So the way my simple mind thinks is that, okay, is that no, it didn't cost me anything to buy the cars. Not only did I get the use of the cars, but I got an extra $15,000. But I can't sit here and tell you that it cost you nothing because you had to start the policy. You had to start up here in year 1. And when you put in the $10,000 in the first year, the whole $10,000 wasn't available. But are you in this for the short term or the long term? Long term. You tell me long term, but we tend to get hung up in short term thinking. Have you ever read a book called The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren? Well, Rick Warren says life is like a marathon, right? Doesn't matter where you start. It only matters how you finish. This is the game of life. So, anyway, so with this example now, so, all right, so did I just show you how to get all the money back on all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life? Yes? Now, let's go back to your question, ma'am. All right? There's no debt. Okay, everything's paid off. So, okay, the car that you're driving today, is that your first car ever? Is it going to be your last car ever? So if you do nothing else with this policy except use it just to buy a car for every 5 years, can you see now how not only do you get the car, but you also get the money back? Now, I'm not even talking about over here on the column that I told you not to look at, which is the death benefit column. And any time in here that something happens and you die, okay, and hopefully it'll be way down here, longer years. But any time that happens, what does that, all that money, who does that go to? That goes to your beneficiary. It goes to your husband. He's going to give his next wife a good signing bonus. Just kidding. All right. So see, it doesn't matter what it is. So that's an example of a $25,000 car to get all your money back. Now, what if this was not a $25,000 car? Let's say, if instead of a $25,000 car, let's say if it was a $50,000 car, and instead of you paying yourself $500 a month or $6,000 a year back, you're paying yourself $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year. The numbers would do what? They would go up. How about if mama and daddy both had a $50,000 car? What would go up? Right? What would happen? It would go up, would it not? So if this example works for a car, And right, so the only reason I use a car in like all of my examples is because most everybody in the audience either owns a car, has driven in a car, or ridden in a car. So you guys understand a car, right? But if this works for a car, does it work for a boat the same way? A bicycle? Does it work for a cell phone? Does it work for clothes? Does it work for a computer? Can you buy anything that you want, any product or service, and recycle and recapture and get all of the money back? What about taxes? Can you pay your taxes and get all the money back if you run it through the policy exactly like this? Now, you guys are at a real estate conference, right? So you're thinking, well, could I do this with a house? Well, could you? Absolutely. And but the thing you're thinking, well, Brent, these numbers, you know, those are too small. I'm not going to buy a $25,000 house. Okay. Well, do this. Add a zero onto this number. Instead of it being 10,000, it's now 100,000. Add a zero onto this number. Instead of 25,000, it's now 250,000. Does that make sense? All we're going to do is add a zero. It's going to work the same way. No matter what amount of money that you put in the policy, it's going to work the same way. It's just if you put in twice the amount, right, instead of putting in 10, now the thing you decide to put in 20, all the numbers will be twice as big. Are you with me? If you put in half the amount, they'll be half the size. It works exactly the same way. Anything that you're buying, any product or service, it can be used for your electric bill, it can be used for your gas bill, your taxes, it can be used for charitable giving. Anything that you're spending money on, anything that you give somebody money to buy. See, here's what you do. All of you guys, this is what you do. I don't even know you, but I know what you do. Every time you spend money, the thing you do is you take this money and do what with it? To buy things. You buy products and services with the money. So remember what, I said when we talked yesterday, I said, tell me the definition of money. You remember what it was? A means of exchange. That's all money is a means of exchange. We exchange money for food. Food for money. Car for money. Money for car. House for money. Money for house. All money is a means of exchange. So now here's what you do. Every time you spend money on anything that you buy, the thing you have to do is take your money and you're going to now just give that money to somebody else. In exchange, they're going to give you the product or service that you just bought. Well, the money is where? It's gone, is it not? I mean, it's gone. It's left your family forever. But in exchange, you got the product or service. Well, when you run your money through this vehicle, now not only are you going to take the money and you're going to give it to whoever you're buying the product or service from, they're going to give you the product or service, but now there's a concept, a method, and a system to get every dollar back. There's no money being leaked out of your family. So this is not a brand new concept, so just for all you guys that weren't here yesterday, this is not a brand new concept. This concept has been around for over 200 years. This is what the wealthy do to build, keep, and create wealth. Go look up the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Stanleys, the Barclays. Go and see what they do with their money, how they build wealth. This is how Walt Disney was able to fund Disney World. It's how Ray Kroc helped out with McDonald's. Alright, so with the stuff that he needed to do there. It doesn't matter what it is, it's infinite. Right, called the infinite banking concept. It's infinite. Whatever you're doing, all we're going to do now is add one simple step in your financial life. That's it. One step. You're going to put dollars into the policy, and then from the policy, now you're going to use them to buy the stuff you're buying anyway. And now the thing that's going to happen is you're going to recycle, recapture, and get all of that money back. Now, just a couple things, and I'll take your questions. There are three rules. Rule number one. Pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. That's what you're doing by putting money into the policy. Yes, it's a payment when you pay a premium, right? But remember the type of policy that you're buying. It's not any regular life insurance policy. This is a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. It's a specifically designed, specially engineered policy for high immediate cash value. High immediate. My definition of immediate is within 30 days. So the thing you want to do is just pay yourself first. And if it's going into an account that you control, yes, it's a policy payment or a premium payment, but in your mind, you have to think of it as not a payment. You have to think of it as a deposit, right? Because if it's going into an account that you control, is it treated more like a payment or a deposit? A deposit. And tell me what word you like better, payment or deposit. Deposit. So the girls always say deposit really loud. Have you ever made too many deposits in your bank account ever? Never. So you have to think of it as a deposit, right? So pay yourself first. Now, I tell you to pay yourself first. You're like, yeah, I heard that all the time, Brent. I go to all these conferences and people tell me to pay myself first. You hear it, but you never do it. Because see, here's what you do. Every time you get money in, that comes in, It can be active income, passive income, investment income. It could be a birthday card or birthday check in the mail from mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, your kids, whatever. Every time you get money in, guess what you do with that money? You pay everybody else first. You pay the car people, the house people, the student loan people, food, travel, the groceries, all the entertainment. You pay for, like, maybe Bobby's soccer practice, Susie's piano lessons, and you hope there's money left over for you. That's what you do. You got to start paying yourself first. Pay yourself first. Rule number two, pay yourself with interest. Pay yourself with interest. So, like, if you go to a bank to borrow money for anything, a car, a house, credit cards, whatever you're buying, and if you go to a bank and borrow money, are you expected to pay them back with interest? Yes, and you pay them back with interest. You never miss a beat. Because if you don't pay them back, they're going to come and pick up the crap that you don't pay for, are they not? I had a car repossessed. They weren't lying when they said that they would not, that right, so that they would come and pick up the car. It is no fun to be outside of your apartment, you know, and all of a sudden you hear noise out the door. It's about 12:30 at night or 1 in the morning. You open up the blinds and all you see is your car on the ass end of a tow truck going the other way. That was no fun. They were not lying when they said they would pick it up. But anyway, that hasn't, right, that's been a while. It's been about 6 or 7 months since that happened. No, I really did have a car repossessed. It was just a long time ago. Okay, so pay yourself with interest. Treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. Because if you don't, what you're saying is your money is not as valuable as a bank's money. And rule number three, we're going to recycle and recapture all of the money that's been going out to other people. All of that money. We're not only going to buy the product and service that we're buying, but we're going to get the money back. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Robert Kiyosaki? Robert Kiyosaki, he wrote this book called Second Chance. This is exactly what Robert Kiyosaki talks about in that book. All right, the thing we're doing is turning liabilities into assets, turning depreciating assets into appreciating assets. Have you heard of a guy named Tony Robbins? He wrote a book called Money Master the Game. Chapter 5.4 of Tony Robbins' book, this is exactly what he's talking about. Exactly, chapter 5.4. All right? So, questions? Yes, sir.
Is interest on the policy tied to inflation, and is it fixed, or is it variable? Does it have a...
Yeah, the interest is not fixed. It is variable, but it's been basically the same rate or lower for the last, I don't know, probably 35 or 40 years. The highest interest rate that the insurance company will charge you to take a loan, with all the policies that I work with, all the companies, is 5% simple interest, and I show it up here as 6. It could go up. But if it goes up, they're going to let you know it's going to go up in advance. But the only way it's going to go up is if, the only way it will go up is if the growth of the policy increases. So normally, when we're in a low interest rate environment, which we're in now, the growth of the policy, or at least the guaranteed growth, is lower. Okay, not the guaranteed growth, the growth of the dividend. Usually the dividends are lower in a low interest rate environment. As the interest rate environment increases, then they also increase the dividends as well. So it's always going to be that balance, okay, so the way that I've showed you. It's been that way for probably longer than 40 plus years. And all the companies have been paying dividends for 120 consecutive years without fail. What's next?
Are you limited to how many times you can borrow from
the policy? No. You can take out a loan every single day if there's cash value in there. Now, most of our clients, and I have over 4,000 clients in every state of the country, most of our clients will take loans out as they're putting their premium in. So if you're paying it monthly, they may take out a loan monthly. If they're paying it quarterly, twice a year, or annually, right? But no, you're not limited. You can take out as often as you want. And the process is simple. All you do is you call up and you say, I want a policy loan. And our question is going to be, or the insurance company, or call us as your servicing agent, they're going to say, okay, how much of a policy loan do you want, or do you want max loan available? You'll answer that question, and then you'll say, okay, are you wanting that loan to be automatically deposited into your bank account, or do you want a check mailed to you? That's how simple it is. A very simple, easy process. All right? What's next? Yes, ma'am.
Is it true if you don't qualify for life insurance due to medical reasons, you can do it on a child?
That's right. Is it true if you don't qualify for the insurance, can you do it on a child or someone else? Absolutely. And there has, and anyway, there's a lot of clients that we have that are not insurable. They are not insurable. They just can't have a policy. Maybe they have cancer. Maybe they had 3 feet of their intestines removed. Maybe they had a kidney transplant. Maybe they got, in the last 6 months, they got a couple, like, driving while intoxicated. There's all kind of different reasons that you may not be insurable. But you can own the policy on somebody else and completely control it. You can own it on a child, a spouse, a niece, a nephew, brother, sister, or a business associate. Anybody you have a vested interest in. You see, there's three things on the policy. There's the owner of the policy. Normally, the owner is the one that pays for the policy. He or she who has the gold makes the rules, right? So they own and control everything that's going on in the policy. Alright? Now, there's also the insured individual. The insured individual is the one that the policy is on. They are generally the one that gives the blood and pees in the cup and answers the health questions in order to get approved for the policy. Now, if you're a minor, you don't necessarily have to do that. The parent just has to answer the health questionnaire. Okay, so you got the owner, the insured, and the beneficiary. The beneficiary is the one that will get is the one that is going to receive the death benefit when the insured individual dies. The owner and the beneficiary can change at any time. You can always change the owner and beneficiary at any time and multiple times. The only thing you cannot change is the insured individual. So, like, for example, I own policies, my wife owns policies, and I have children as my beneficiaries, right? Because if something happens to both of us, then it would go, okay, just to the children. But if the children don't act right or they make you mad, you can change the beneficiary, you know? So I threaten my kids all the time. I say, if you don't act right, we'll just remove you from being the beneficiary. And it'll keep your kids in line. All right?
So if you had like four kids, you could say 25% is the beneficiary, or do you have to have separate?
If you have, she said if you have four kids, could you make each of them 25% beneficiary? You could, or you could pick the one you like the most and give them the most.
Who takes out the loans? The owner?
Yeah, the owner controls everything. The owner is the one that controls the loan, right? So, like, for example, I own policies just on my daughter. I own policies on her. I also own them on my other children as well. But I control everything that goes on in her policy. She has no say-so whatsoever. Now, the thing is that my daughter, she's 22, she has five of her own policies that she owns. I have no control over those because it's her money, right? She's paying, the premium in the policy. So she owns it and controls it. I have no control over those, and she has no control over mine. Now, eventually, the thing that's going to happen probably is that I am supposed to pass, die, or graduate before my daughter. So even though I own the policy on her life, I'm probably eventually going to transfer ownership over to her. Depends how she acts.
I'm 49, my son's 17.
Yeah.
Is there a difference? I mean, I don't know how whole life works that term like that.
Okay.
Premium-wise, I'm going to pay less than a 17-year-old.
Okay, I'm age 49, my son is 17. Is there a difference with how the premium works? Remember, talk about age and death benefit real quick here. Age and death benefit, right? So, let's say we have three people, age 17. Well, no, let's just use two, age 17 and 49, okay? The both of you walk into the same life insurance store today. I'll assume you're both in equal health, and the both of you are going to put $10,000 into the policy. So who's going to have the most death benefit? Yeah, it's going to be the youngest person will have the most death benefit, right, for the same premium. So who's going to have the least death benefit? You. But let's say you and your 17-year-old, let's say you walk into the same grocery store at the same time, and you each have $20 in your pocket. Who's going to be able to buy the most groceries, you or your 17-year-old?
Me.
The same. See, age doesn't matter, does it? Age has no bearing on the cash part of the policy. It doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, you know, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, the language you speak, how good you dress. The same $20 buys the same amount of groceries for a 49-year-old and a 17-year-old. The only difference is the death benefit amount. And this is not why you're working with me, is for death benefit. You're working with me for the cash. Does that make sense? Okay, good. You got it? I answered? All right, what else? We got to wrap it up pretty soon.
So what happens if you buy a $25,000 note that's paying you interest?
If you buy a $25,000 note that pays you interest?
I buy a car.
Okay.
I buy a note that's paying me back.
Okay.
Would you recommend putting that money back into the policy?
Okay, great question. Okay, so anyway, he's asking, he says, how about if I buy a $25,000 note? Well, I want you to buy the note exactly the way you're going to buy it. We're just going to add one step in the policy. So I do this. I do hard money lending. I have short-term rentals. I have long-term rentals, right? I do some note investing as well. So the thing I do is I go buy my $25,000 note, but I take the loan from the policy to buy the note. Then I'm going to get paid back on that note. Let's just call it 10%, okay, for example. I just did a deal not too long ago. I loaned $185,000 on a property that was worth $270,000, and I get 12% interest only. Okay? Every month they give me interest. But let's just call it 10% for easy math, which would be 18.5 a year, right? Is that right? Something like that? I don't know. I might have the math wrong. But the thing is, let's just use $100,000 for easy math. And let's say every year on that note, it's going to pay you 10% interest, which is 10 grand a year, right? So now, the thing you did is you took the $100,000 out of the policy to go buy the note. That's what I did. I took the $100,000 out of the policy to buy the note. Now, on the $100,000, it's still in that account, is it? Right? I never took it out of the policy. I put my policy up for collateral, took a loan from the general fund of the policy, from the insurance company. So it's still growing as if it was all in there. So now every month I get that interest back. Or let's just call it a yearly because it's easy math. So $10,000 a year comes back in. So I can take that money and I can put it back in to the policy. I can pay off that policy loan. But do I do that? No. I don't want to pay that policy loan back. I want to go out and invest in more notes. I want to do more lending because I want the money moving. Because if the money's in the policy or outside of the policy, it's still growing and compounding as if it was all in there. So there's no interruption of compound interest. As a matter of fact, about every 3 months, my wife will ask me. She'll say, Brent, how much money is in our cash value life insurance policy? How much cash can we borrow? And I tell her a number. And she says, that's too much. She says, I don't want any money sitting in the policy. I want you to get that loaned out. Let's get that money working. And the thing she calls her money, what, Hannah, does mom call her money? The little green men, that's what she calls the money. She says, I want my little green men working. I don't want my green men to be sitting on the couch. I want them in motion. So if I tell her a number that's too high, she says, go find more investment deals. Because we want to get the growth on the money inside the policy, plus we want to get the money that's coming in from the loan, the interest that we're making. And I'm telling you, when you start doing that and you recycle and recapture all that money that's been going out of your family, it drastically changes your financial life. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I may have missed this, but you said within 31 days you want to take money out. Where does it go? In your pocket bank and the policy?
No. So like here, okay, for example, let's say you put in 10 grand. Yeah. Immediately. How soon is immediately? Within 30 days. You're going to be able to borrow 5,800. It's going to be a higher number than that, but let's just call it 5,800. So now the thing you do is you take that money as a loan, and now what you're going to use it for the stuff that you're buying in life anyway. Right? Your cost of living, expenses. Now, I'm not saying take the loan out and go to Disney World. You know, I mean, be smart about what you're doing. But all you're doing is you're adding one step. You're just taking a loan, okay, as a loan from the insurance company. You're putting your policy up for collateral.
Are you doing that every month or just
do it? Some people do it every year. You do, as long as there's cash value, you can use it for anything. I mean, I'll just tell you, as of the end of October, I have 20. No. Not 21 anymore. I have a total of like 19 loans out to 13 people, and it totals about $1,255,000. That's what I have lent out to other people. So I took the money out of the policy, made the loan. Now they're paying me back every month with interest. Some of them interest only. Some of them is just like principal and interest. As that money comes back, if I have no use for the money, I'll send it back to pay off my policy loan. But remember, my wife says, no, I don't want it to go back to the policy. Go out and find more loans to make to keep that money in motion and to keep that compounding effect going.
Okay, so the second part of that question was when it goes then. So you're putting, in this scenario here, you're putting the $10,000 in each month, let's just say, for the deposit.
Each year.
Oh.
Each year. It's every year.
Oh, got it. Okay, even better.
Yep, yeah.
And then you're putting the car loan payment in addition to that.
Well, I'm just saying that, okay, so I'm saying that I'm going to play honest banker with myself because I'm going to borrow $25,000 and I'm going to pay myself back with interest. It's not required to do that, but... However, if I did that with a bank, right, then I should do it for myself. I'm just treating my money the same way a bank's money. Yes, sir. I got two more, and then we got to wrap it up. Hannah, can you come up here and shut this down?
That same example now, the money is flowing out. It's not coming back in with interest payments.
Okay, how does the tax part work? Okay, don't overcomplicate the tax thing. It's this simple. Every dollar that you pay premium into, when you spend dollars into your premium, it is with after-tax dollars, which is a great thing. Because what you want to do is pay tax on your money one time only, at the lowest rate possible. You want to get that money into a tax-free environment and get the government completely out of your hair. Do you not? So a loan, like, if you take a loan is never taxable. Have you ever paid?
You're loaning your money out to those people that...
Oh, if I loan my money to you?
No.
Yeah, I should pay tax on that money. But however, right, the thing is, if it's coming out of the policy, going back into the policy, that growth inside of the policy is non-taxable. But you are right. If I loan it out, it's coming back to me, and it would be considered like income or profits, and I would pay tax. All right, one more. Yes?
What's the maximum amount you can take out of the cash value?
The maximum amount you can take out of the cash value, it goes up each and every year. In my next presentation that I'm doing in 15 minutes at the end, I'm going to go through that with you, but it goes up every year. So, for example, year one, the thing you put in a dollar, you take out 70 cents. Year two, you put in a dollar, you take out 85 cents. Year three and on, every time you put in a dollar, you take out more than you put in. I will tell you, my oldest policy is 13 years old. This past February, every dollar I put into that policy, I was able to take out $2.09. Next year, this coming February, every dollar I can take out more because it gets more efficient over time. It gets more efficient over time. Okay, look, I'm going to go down to the other room all the way at the end at 1:30. I think it's 3, 4, and 5, or 4, 5, and 6. If this is something that you want to know more about, either come down and watch me present there, or if you got another one you're going to, all you got to do is just like email me, Brent, B-R-E-N-T, Brent at themoneymultiplier.com, and I'll also send you the ebook as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.